chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, I will not be long tonight, all right? I know you want to get home and sip on a little bit of hot chocolate, all right, and have some sweet bread. Well, Mexicans and Hispanics, we got sweet bread, and white folk, we call them donuts, but we call them sweet bread, all right? And so we're going to have a little bit of that tonight, and we're going to rejoice, all right? Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, the Bible says in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Verse number 2, read it together, ready to begin. Grace be unto you, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God on every remembrance of you. Verse 4 together, always in every prayer of mine, for you all make a request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, let's read it together. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are takers of my grace. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us to meet tonight. Thank you for the privilege of having this building and this location. Thank you for the doors being open tonight. Lord, I ask that you would please speak to our hearts tonight. I certainly need you tonight, Lord. I know that without you, I can do nothing. I don't even want to pretend to do something without you. So please help us tonight, God. Speak through thy servant. And then, God, you told us in your word, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, Lord, tonight, open up our spiritual ears and our hearts and help us to be receptive to the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I know some have given the title to the book of Philippians as the book of joy. And certainly that would be adequate because there's joy or rejoicing mentioned over 20 times in the book of Philippians. I love this book because the Apostle Paul is rejoicing in the Lord. And according to Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And right here, Philippians is a letter written to the church in Philippi, approximately 60 AD, and the Apostle Paul is writing, I believe, to thank the Philippians for their financial contribution to the Word of God. Now, you got to understand that Philippians is written in a jail cell. He is in deep Rome, and he's persecuted for the faith of the gospel. The Apostle Paul is thrown into prison. He is persecuted for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find the vision in Acts chapter 16, where the Bible says that Paul received a vision, a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And so he and Silas are on a second missionary journey, and they go to Samothracia, and then they go to Troas and Neapolis, and they find themselves in Philippi, which is the chief city of Macedonia. Now they abide there for a few days, the Bible says, and they meet a lady. She is a worshiper of God, and she adores God from the heart. She's a businesswoman, and her name is Sarah Palin. Just kidding. Her name is Lydia, and the Bible says she is a seller of purple. That's fabric in those days, and she's got money, and she is one of the founding members of the Church of Philippi with the Cyprian. And then later on in that chapter, we see a man who is a jailer. You know, they're thrown in jail, right? The Philippian jail. Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, chapter 16. And while they're in jail, the Bible says that the earthquake and the earth shifted, and all the jail terms were open. And the Philippian jailer sought to kill himself. Why? Because it was a custom in those days. If the prisoners were set free, or if they would flee, if they would escape jail, then those that were watched would have to kill themselves, because that's the only alternative they had. And when the Philippian jailer was about to kill himself, Paul said, do thyself no harm. He screamed out, do thyself no harm. All of us are still here. And man, what a tremendous story. If you never read that story, read it in the Word of God. And the Philippian jailer has a question for Paul. He says, what must I do to be saved? And what a tremendous story. And of course, the Apostle Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. And I want to say, what a tremendous promise out of the Word of God, church, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ,
God says you'll be saved and also each and every one of your family members. And I just want to parenthetically say, when was the last time we prayed for some of our lost family members that God would fulfill his promise of saving those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? In 2 Corinthians, we see that Paul commended the churches in Macedonia. Listen to what he says. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 4, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial and affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us much entreaty that we would receive the gift, the monetary gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." And so here the church in Philippi is providing for the needs of the Apostle Paul and also for the needs of Titus and Timothy and Sylvanus and Epaphroditus and Silas and these men that have coupled together for the furtherance of the gospel. And I just want to say tonight, church, thank you for your willingness to give to missions. What a tremendous missions conference we had, right? We see everybody coming up here presenting their work, and they have a burden to get the gospel to their corner of the world where God has called them. Now, there are three responses to missions. You can go, you can sow, or you can say no. And thank God that in this church we have people that have said, "God, I'm going to sow so that we can reap eternal dividends in the heavens one day." Now, here is the Apostle Paul, and he says, listen, church at Philippi, thank you for your contributions to the work of God. Number one, would you please notice the presentation of Paul? Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It won't take me long. The presentation of Paul. He says in verse number 1, "Paul and Timotheus, the what, church? The servants of Jesus Christ." Well, I like that. He didn't say, "I'm the apostle." He didn't say, "I'm the high and mighty." He didn't say, "I learned at the feet of Gamaliel." He didn't say the skillful or intelligent. Paul referred to himself as the servant of Jesus Christ, the servant of Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says, "to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons." So he says, "I'm a servant," and this letter is written to the who, church? To the saints. He says, "I'm writing this letter to the saints." Now, when the Bible calls us saints, does that indicate that we never do any wrong? Yes or no? Absolutely not. What it means, Mrs. Quackenbush, is that we have been set apart for Jesus Christ. When the Bible says to the saints, what it's referring to, ye Christians who have been set apart from the world. And I just want to say this tonight. It is a joy and a pleasure to be set apart for the use of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be a saint in the ministry. I've been set apart for Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is what? Enmity against God." Now, is that Bible tonight, church? Yes, it is. What's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These three things do not come from the Father. And so we all battle with this. You say, don't beat yourself up tonight, because the preacher battles with this. We have to battle with our pride, do we not? Yes, we do. Every man in this room must admit that we battle with pride. Yeah, when your wife tells you something and you know she's right and you're wrong. Right, man? Are you with me tonight? It's not men's conference. I'm just picking on you a little bit. "Well, my wife told me something. She was right." And pride, you see it like a thumb, you see it like a meter. Just blowing up at the wife. Ladies, when your husband tells you something, you know he's right. "I don't care. I don't want to submit." Pride. That didn't come from the Father. It comes from the world. The lust of the eyes. "Hey, Eve, don't touch that pomegranate." You didn't know that was a pomegranate in Genesis, did you? You learned something tonight. Don't touch that mango. Don't touch it. "Ah, but she saw it was one to be desired, her eyes, and the lust of the flesh." We all battle with these things, but that doesn't come from the Father. He says saints. And then notice supplication. Look what he says in verse number 4. Look at verse number 3 first. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." What a tremendous statement. Look at verse 4. "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." Paul says, I got supplication for you, Philippians. When I remember you, it brings joy to my heart, and I bow the knee and I pray. Oh, what a tremendous thought. You know, we have a pastor who prays for this church. Our pastor, he says your name before the throne of God almost every day. I've seen the binder that pastor has, Brother McMaines, and I think Brother McMaines has one as well. And he prays for every member by name. He prays and he prays and he prays and he prays. And what a tremendous joy to have a pastor who prays. And we see the presentation of Paul. Number two, won't take me long. Number two, the persuasion of the performance. The persuasion of the performance. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at verses 5 and 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6. Are you still with me? All right, here we go. Verse 5. The Bible says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, from the first day that I met you, from the first day that you trusted Jesus Christ, from the first day that we have fellowship, from the first day that I met you until now. Look at verse number 6. Let's read verse number 6 nice and loud. Ready, begin. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am persuaded, I am confident, I am totally and wholeheartedly convinced that he, meaning he pronoun Jesus, which hath begun a good work. And what is that work? That work was salvation. He says that salvation that has started in your heart, he says he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Would you turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 1? And I want you to see what Ephesians says. Now we're talking about Paul being persuaded of this performance. He says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Just back up one book. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30. And look at what he says to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And let's read what's left of the verse. Ready, church? Whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Isn't that a beautiful statement? He says this salvation is a work that begun in you, Church of Philippi. And Philippians, I want you to understand that it wasn't your works that got you saved. It wasn't your setting apart that got you saved. It wasn't your righteousness that brought salvation. Righteousness only comes through the person of Jesus Christ. That is the way that every one of us are saved tonight. I'm not saved because of my good works. I'm not saved because I'm preaching tonight. I'm not saved because I give all my money to the YMCA. I'm not saved because I'm trying to be a godly father and a godly husband. I'm not saved because of any of that. I'm saved because Jesus hung on the cross and died for me, and I trusted and believed in Jesus Christ. That's why I'm saved, my friend. And if you're a Christian, that is the exact same way that you're saved tonight. I believed in Jesus Christ. He says that work that has begun. Salvation. Woo! Redemption. What a tremendous thing. Now he uses the word perform. So preacher, does that mean that this is an outward thing? No. When he says the word perform here in the Greek, it means a process of maturation. He says this is a process. It's called sanctification. So you're born again, John chapter number 3, and then you begin a process of sanctification. Now, what is sanctification? It is what Proverbs calls removing the dross from the silver. It is what the Bible says, a vessel that comes forth for the finer. It is what Job said, when I shall come out, I said, I shall come forth as gold. You see, all of us are in this sanctification process. If you trusted in Jesus Christ, there is a performance that is taking place. And by the way, I want to say that this is not our work. This is the work and power of the Holy Spirit, church. The Holy Spirit must remove the dross from our life. The Holy Spirit must remove the lusts of the flesh. The Holy Spirit must remove the lust of the eyes. The Holy Spirit must give us the power of God to become more, not like the pastor, not like each other, but to become more like Jesus, my friend. This is the secret of the Christian life. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. He said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I, Paul, lives, but Christ liveth within me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I allow the grace of God to work through me. I allow the mercy of God to flow through me. I allow the love of God to flow through me. And I want to say, what is the reason that we keep ourselves unspotted from the world? Here is the reason. Because I love Jesus, my friend. Because I love him. That is the reason that I abstain from the world. Those that are married here tonight, the reason that you put that ring on, and the reason you came forward, I think Brother Nadosik celebrated his anniversary last week. And I think the Winterstein's also 50 years. And somebody else, I just can't remember. But those that have been married and have celebrated these anniversaries, they understand that they said yes to one person, but they said many no's to thousands of others. You said yes to one person, but what does that mean? You said no to thousands and millions of others. What a tremendous thought. Now, when you said yes to Jesus, you said no to this world. Stay with me. When I said yes to Jesus, I said no even to my own flesh. When I said yes to Jesus, I said no to this prosperity gospel. When I said yes to Jesus, I said no to this popularity gospel. When I said yes to Jesus, I sold out for Jesus Christ. Now I belong to him. I'm part of the bride of Christ, and so are you, my friend. What a tremendous start. Now I'll say, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, and I want you to see this. 1 John chapter number 3. A church member said this morning, he said, preacher, man, you're always sweating on Sunday morning. And I said, that's what happened when you're 330 pounds, man. Come on now. 1 John chapter number 3. I want to tell you just a little story. It won't take me long, like 30 seconds. Here we go. We first came on staff here in January. February, pastor come to me, and he comes to Brother Lee. He also comes to Ryan Cavan. I mean, love Brother Ryan. Praise the Lord, right? I love Brother Ryan. He's like my little white brother, man. I mean, so pastor said, I want to do something for you guys. He said, just name it. And me and Ryan looked at each other and said, Laker tickets. That's right. I don't care if they're doing if they're bad right now, Brother Javen. I love the Lakers. Come on now. I was born in 82, and so that was near the Showtime era. Brother Javen tried to take me back yesterday, and I had no idea what he was talking about. But he said, Dancing Barry. I was at the forum watching Dancing Barry. But anyways, he said, we want Laker tickets. Now, the truth is, these tickets would not be used until April. But he got these tickets in February, Brother Doug. Good tickets. I mean, not those nosebleed tickets where you bring your binoculars to the game. I think that's Kobe right there, is it? That's Kobe. That's not Kobe. That's the coach or something, you know. But he gave us good tickets, Brother Rolando. But we weren't able to use these tickets until April. And I tell you, I waited. I said, Ryan, man, we only got like 8 weeks left. He said, I know, man, I can't wait to go. And as soon as that time came up, got in the car. He says, I'm going to give you guys a little expenditure and have a good time. Went down to the bottom. We had floor. I mean, we're only like 8 rows from the court. And we are enjoying life. Like, yes, this is sweet, man. The lake show, baby. Come on, this is great. Having a good time for the time. Can I tell you, we waited for like almost 2.5 months. You see, I had the tickets, but it wasn't time to turn them in. I had the tickets, but the game wasn't game time yet. Now look what the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now let's read verse number 2, church, and look what the Bible says in verse number 2. Ready, begin. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, oh yes, praise the Lord. He says, I've given you the ticket. When you got saved, I've given you the ticket. But now we got this game time we call life. Some preachers call it the dash. We got the day you were born, and the dash is our lifetime. And at the end is the day we're going to die. And the Bible says, beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And then he says, beloved, we are not going to be what we are going to be. He says, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then our salvation will come to fruition, and then it come to completion, and that performance will take place. Why? Because I will no longer be wrapped in this fleshly garment. I will be wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that last stage of salvation is called glorification. What a tremendous thought. You see, there's no cancer in heaven, my friend. Why? Because we'll be glorified like Jesus Christ. Oh, there's no fornication in heaven. Why? Because we'll no longer be tempted by Satan and our own flesh. There's no doubt in heaven. There's no fear in heaven. I just want to say there's no abuse in heaven. Hey, there's no fatherless children in heaven. Hey, there is no more sin on the other side. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. What a tremendous thought. Think about how he is tonight. Somebody raise your hand and just tell me how he is tonight. Somebody, anybody, raise your hand and tell me how he is. Yes, ma'am. He's gracious. Praise the Lord. Somebody else on this side, how is he tonight? Talk to me. How is he? Somebody on this side, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Miss Diane? He's faithful. Yeah. Miss Marvin, how is he tonight? He's merciful. Yeah. Hey, can I say, church, Brother Javen, he's a sinless God. There is no sin in Jesus Christ. There is no sin in Jesus Christ. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witness say. I don't care what Mormons say. I don't care what Muslims say. There is no sin in Jesus Christ, my friend. Oh, there's no sin in Jesus. He's perfect. He never committed sin. He became sin. Yes, he did. Why? So that we through his so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord for that. You see, there's a process going on, church. Paul said, I'm persuaded, I'm convinced that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now I want to say number 3, and I'm done here. We see the presentation of Paul. We've seen the persuasion of this performance. And I want to say number 3, the Philippian partakers. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7, Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. He says, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I want you to see underneath here the affection that Paul had. Paul said, I have you in my heart. What a tremendous statement. He said, Philippians, I want you to understand that I have you in my heart. You see, we get a glimpse of the heart and the insight of a spiritual leader. And a tremendous joy to know that we have a pastor who has all of us in his heart. Yes, he does. Now, he said several weeks ago, if you remember, he was preaching about the priorities of a pastor. He's not Superman. I can't tell you how many times people have left church because they blamed the preacher. The preacher's not Superman. He's not God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We got to look unto Jesus. But listen, church, listen. I don't believe there's 2 days that have gone by since I worked here that the pastor has not mentioned a church member, has not mentioned a visitor, has not mentioned someone in this auditorium that he loves very dearly. He loves you. He has you in his heart. I see affection. I see next affirmation. Now watch what he says. He says, I have you in my heart inasmuch as both in my bonds. You say, what is that all about? Well, he has them in his heart. When he says in his bonds, what he's saying is that you encourage me. What a tremendous truth. He says, you encourage me. As I'm in these bonds, in these fetters, in these chains, in this Philippian jail, he says, I want you to know, Philippians, that you are partaking in my bonds. I think about you, and I'm encouraged. What a tremendous truth. I know there's a church in Philippi that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that Lydia is there. I know that the Philippian jailer is there and all his family because they got saved. I know that they're preaching the gospel and reaching that region of the world for Jesus Christ. Hey! You encourage me, Philippians. You encourage me. Then I see this, and I'm done. He says, inasmuch in my bonds, and he says, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Do you see it there, church? The defense and confirmation of the gospel. He says, you're all partakers of this grace. I see the authorization. You see, they were proof that the gospel truly worked. They were proof that the gospel truly worked. 2 Corinthians 5:16, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what does the Bible say, church? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all are become new. What's the greatest proof, confirmation, authorization of the gospel preacher? What is it? It is the testimony of a changed life. Think about where you were before Jesus Christ. You remember that, friend? Some of us tonight used to lay our head down on pillows as we wept at night because we had problems and we didn't have anybody that could fix them. You remember that tonight? Some as children accepted Jesus Christ and God saved you from a world of hurt and a world of ruin. But I speak here tonight to some adults that before you came to Jesus Christ, your God was the bottle of alcohol. Before you came to Jesus Christ, your God was gambling. Before you came to Jesus Christ, your God was money. Before you came to Jesus Christ, there were drugs involved and there was an immoral lifestyle. But thank God for the testimony and confirmation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if any man is in Jesus Christ, he is a new creature. What a tremendous joy. Let's stand, church. Done a good job listening tonight. Thank you for listening to the message. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I think Brother Young is coming up here. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask a question. I don't know. Maybe we have people visiting tonight. I'm not sure. But I never want to leave a service without asking this question. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who say, preacher, if I were to die tonight, if this were my last day on this planet Earth, I'm not sure, I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm glad you came to church tonight. I'm glad you made the decision to take some time and seek after God. But let me just tell you from the bottom of my heart, if you leave tonight without accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no other alternative but to die and go to a Christless eternity in hell forever. Oh, visitor tonight, perhaps acquaintance tonight, don't die and go to hell from a Baptist preaching, a Bible preaching church. Accept Jesus Christ. Now is the appointed time for salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, if the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart tonight and tapped you on the shoulder and said, you're not saved, you don't know Jesus, you don't know me. What a tremendous joy to know Jesus Christ. What a blessing that he knows me and that he knows the Christian tonight. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, what a promise from God tonight. Do you know Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time that you have accepted Christ as your Savior? Is there anybody tonight, do be honest enough with God, not with me, but with God, and say, I don't know Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Right now, would you please raise your hand? Be honest with God. I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is there anybody here tonight who say, I don't know Jesus? Anybody tonight? Well, Christian, we got some time. If you want to take a knee or come to the altar, maybe the Lord spoke to you about something tonight. Let's take some time to speak to him. If the Holy Spirit was so kind to speak to you, you speak to God tonight. Let's go. Let's go. The altar's open. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, turning back. Hallelujah. There's no turning.